Let's just get a few things straight about what actually happened, because there has been all this conspiracy theory content. And, you know, it's worth remembering that this shooting attempt occurred at an event which was full of journalists.
2,600 journalists.
Including journalists from the organisation that we work for. So the BBC. So we know that it happened. Like, we know that there was an attempted shooting. We know that there was a suspect. The suspect was apprehended. A lot of the content that is suggesting that the shooting attempt was staged in some way isn't actually alleging that it didn't happen at all, that it was like somehow like entirely fabricated, like the suspect didn't exist. What they're suggesting is that the event was somehow like staged or curated, that it did occur, but it was like set up.
Which, to be clear, there's also no evidence.
Which there's no evidence of either, but no one's saying shots weren't fired. I think it's worth saying, I mean, we've just chatted about MAGA accounts posting loads about the assassination attempt, but there is a huge swell of left-wing anti-Donald Trump accounts that are convinced that this assassination attempt was staged, that the previous one, the one in Butler, Pennsylvania, then the one that happened at his golf course, that all of these are staged. And actually, each time one of these events happens and the assassination is not successful, they use that as further evidence of their conspiracy. And they'll be like, right, here we go again. And what I have found...
Have you heard the term Blue Anon?
Yeah, Blue Anon.
This is
yeah.
Blue Anon. It's like QAnon, but the Democrat.
But the Democrat version. Yeah. And a lot of these are accounts that were previously outraged at the idea that Donald Trump's team and supporters would say the election had been rigged, or any accusation that like COVID was a hoax or stuff was staged. And yet they're using the exact same language to say, actually, this was staged and here's why. I mean, in this case, most of the really viral posts suggesting it was staged are basically saying his approval ratings aren't looking as good at the moment. So this is why it's happened.
One account was Joyce Carol Oates, who's one of the biggest kind of left-wing accounts. She's been one of the main people calling into question the Butler assassination attempt against Donald Trump, not this one. But, you know, she's amplifying that hugely. And it's like someone died at that event. You know, this is something that really happened. It ended in a death.
I've messaged quite a few of these left-wing accounts, anti-Donald Trump accounts that are sharing this kind of content. And to be honest, most of them say to me, oh, well, because lots of the other big accounts that I follow and believe and agree with are suggesting this, I'm inclined to also have doubts about the authenticity of these assassination attempts without any evidence at all. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help when there are comments made that then become a sort of hostage to fortune. So Caroline Levitt, for example, the press secretary, she made these comments before she went into the dinner saying essentially like, you know, Donald Trump's not going to go that easy on the journalists here. You know, it could get hostile. Shots are going to be fired.
This speech tonight will be classic Donald J. Trump. It'll be funny. It'll be entertaining. There will be some shots fired tonight in the room. So everyone should tune in. It's going to be really great. I'm looking forward
it's very
to it. And then it's like everyone's clipping up that clip and saying, oh my gosh, she knew. It's like, if she knew, why would she say it before going in?
Exactly. And it's like that. Also, let's be real. This is America. Like, the chance of someone using the word shot or gun, it's like very high in any speech. And also just this idea that everyone becomes all of a sudden a forensic medical expert every time one of these things happens on social media, and their little theories.
Oh, they're analyzing all the pictures.
Yeah.
It's the sort of like sleuth disease again.
It's the sleuth disease. It happened with Charlie Kirk. You know, always. So I saw this one tweet that was hugely popular. That's a picture of the attempted assassin, Cole Allen, on the ground. It says, where did the agents shoot him? What stopped him? Where's the blood? Why is his supratrochlear vein not indicating that he is in any pain or distress? It's like, when I see a guy with crypto entrepreneur in his Twitter bio and he's using the word supratrochlear vein, like, I know we're in trouble.
Red flag.
Dude, you do not know anything about supratrochlear veins, okay? You know nothing about that. You're not a medical professional.
I love how he'll now get in touch and be like, I'm actually a surgeon.
Potentially. If you are, I apologize. You know, please get in touch. But
one of the most, I think, concerning side effects is people then like genuinely not knowing what to believe. And I've had quite a few DMs about this. So I had one from Martha McMahon who said, is this real? Thought it would be good to cover on Top Comment. And it's a TikTok of someone talking about the manifesto of the shooter who is alleged to have carried out the assassination attempt. It does seem to be authentic and real, but you can so see how everyone's like, has someone just made this up as well? Mm. Particularly because this manifesto, where he basically outlines the sort of ethics of who he's going to go after.
The rules of engagement.
Yeah, the rules of engagement. So he's like, basically you can go after any of Trump's top team except Cash Patel.
Why is that?
It seems to be because Kash Patel looks like he's not that long for the administration.
You think that this shooter had like the wherewithal to be like, my rules of engagement, I can go over Trump and any of his cabinet, except for Kash Patel, because I predict that he will be fired soon.
Well, I don't know why else, but that's the thing, is stuff like that makes people think it's not real, because they're like, really? That's really random.
But people have also been used that.
Yeah, used that to say
the FBI
staged
it. Yeah. Now, the other thing is, I'm getting a lot of
framing Kash Patel.
No one's found the bullets that the Secret Service person was meant to have shot at this guy. But the absence of evidence is not proof that your conspiracy theory is true. The burden of proof is on the much harder to prove thing, that there's this massive conspiracy that no one has leaked the details on in the entire Trump administration. The 2,600 journalists that were there didn't notice. And the other thing is, bullets often disappear in structures. Like sometimes they go into your body and don't leave. You know, lots of weird things happen.
Yeah, and there's been more evidence that's been released by the authorities. So showing like the weapons, but then also showing a selfie that the suspect took seemingly in the hotel room before they then went to do the shooting. And what I think is really interesting is when you look at the Butler assassination attempt, one of the reasons why it spawned so many conspiracy theories is because there was a real like deficit of information about the shooter who was killed. And then like no one really quite understood, still really understands what he was driven by. Was he politically motivated? Whereas in this case, there seems to be a manifesto that outlines quite a clear political motivation from the suspect.
Yeah.
And even that's not enough.
Yeah, exactly. Just on the Butler thing, you know, that conspiracy has also been becoming popular amongst Trump's supporters now, too, that the Butler assassination attempt was staged. So recently, Joe Kent, who's the U.S. National Counterterrorism Center director previously, resigned from his position over the Iran war. He was on Tucker Carlson's podcast. He claimed, without providing any evidence, that investigations into the Butler shooting had been shut down the day before they finished. Carlson questioned why Israel has had so much control over our government and claimed that one of the clues is the Butler shooting. So like it kind of tips into this anti-Semitic conspiracy as well, that like Israel's controlling the government. That's why they're not investigating the Butler shooting. Candace Owens has now echoed that. She said that the Butler shooting was orchestrated by an Israeli-American political donor. So MAGA now is starting to think that the Butler assassination attempt wasn't real. It should not be hard to believe the real truth that's at play here, which is that political assassinations have always been big in America. America is clearly at a point where rhetoric has driven it to extreme violence, seeming like a viable option. We've had a number of assassinations recently, assassination attempts. There was obviously Luigi Mangione. There was an assassination attempt on Trump already. You know, Sam Altman has had two attempts on his life recently. Charlie Kirk. Stats show that 20% of Gen Z are up for political violence now. And, you know, a lot of these political assassins are often idolized on social media. Like with the Sam Altman thing, like a lot of the responses were, you know, praising this attempt on his life. Lots of people were empathetic to obviously Luigi Mangione.
Yeah, and I think that there's something, I mean, like in this case, it does seem like this suspect, according to the manifesto, really didn't like Donald Trump and his team and felt like he needed to take political action. But a lot of the people engaging in these kind of attacks, we think of the Charlie Kirk assassin and so on, seem to be sort of motivated by almost this, like, I've spoken about it before, but like this ideology of engagement. Like they care more about the kind of reaction that they subsequently trigger in the online world. Think of like the trolling, like meme references on the bullet casings around Charlie Kirk and like taking the selfie as well. It's like they know the digital footprint that they will leave and they actually curate it in such a way to kind of like troll. It's really interesting. And that's why often I think that it's almost like a generalized violent ideology with no real political sort of basis,
yeah,
quite so much as perhaps people want to ascribe to it.
Yeah, exactly, because Cole Allen seems relatively centrist. Thomas Crooks, who attempted to assassinate Trump in Butler, also seemed strangely kind of centrist in a way. It's not as though there's one radical right-wing or left-wing ideology behind these killings, although both sides will try and claim that there is.
But and they'll use the clues to come up.
They'll use the clues, and those clues are now being left behind by the killers.
It's the Gen Zification of assassination attempts. So you've got the suspects or the shooters kind of leaving clues, taking pictures, knowing that their social media profiles and everything else will be pored over. And then you've also got the Gen Z people who are in attendance at these shootings, I guess the survivors of the shooting. So if we think of what happened at the correspondents' dinner, you've got loads of established journalists in the room. You've also got members of the White House press pack who are MAGA influencers, who that's one of the changes that Donald Trump made, right? Like allowing these people to come into the briefings, ask questions and so on. And quite a few of them were posting pictures and images. And there was one influencer in particular who shared this selfie. And it just felt like the sort of pinnacle of like...
There was one tweet
about the internet, wasn't it? It's like, she's just there in her dress, basically being like, the shooter is dead. The shooter wasn't dead, so it's not true. Like, thanks so much to the security services. Like, everything about it is tonally, like, completely inappropriate. But yet on social media, it's kind of, like, entirely appropriate.
Yeah, so this is, like, an influencer, like, trying to look hot, it appears, in a selfie.
After there's been an assassination attempt.
Yeah, pouting to the camera and saying, shooter's dead. But also, that selfie was taken before the shooting happened, and she had since left. So that's the other weird thing. It's like, that selfie wasn't even after this shooting. It was like something from before. She then did another post saying, I accidentally shared fake news. She said, shooter was not dead. Breaking news is always the first draft of history. That's her justification. And this is the problem with letting influencers into the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And, you know, now the White House is holding influencer briefings as well, is they aren't journalists.
One thing I was quite intrigued by was watching like how people responded, because the nature of an event like the Correspondents' Dinner is like everyone's dressed up and they've like they look amazing and they've got loads of pictures, and like you can tell that everyone before the event has taken all these lovely pictures that they plan to post. And then obviously this attempted shooting occurs, and then my Instagram feed the next day, mainly because I follow lots of journalists, was loads of journalists kind of posting the nice pictures,
of
but then with these like
yeah.
earnest captions.
Yeah, they're putting themselves in the story.
Pro tip. It's like, oh, like, this is happening. Before the really bad thing happened, but like, yeah. Anyway, I look really nice, which also feels like part yeah. kind of wider influencer culture, like the influencerification of journalism.
Yeah, there was an attempt on the president's life, and you're like, I was in a cute dress, so I think that this is a great chance to post
it. And like, I don't want to not post it because like, I can't do it yeah. in my like end of month dump.
I mean, the funniest thing for me was Dana White, the CEO of UFC and longtime Trump ally. This was so cringe. He was interviewed afterwards and he was like, they told him to get down. I didn't get down.
It was fucking awesome. I literally took every minute of it in, and it was pretty crazy, unique experience.
It's like, okay, tough guy, like you didn't get down when the Secret Service was telling you to get down because it's an active shooter. It reminded me of those joke videos about not giving a girl the ick when the plane is crashing, you know, like trying to like make it really cool. It's like,
yeah, like I wasn't even scared.
Just shut up, get down. Like there's a shooter. It's just, yeah. You're not being tough by being like, I stayed standing.
Yeah, yeah. And
he said it was awesome.
So Matt, my TikTok this week has been absolutely full of these AI generated songs where people will get text messages, particularly text messages from like their ex, and they'll turn them into a kind of, it's either like emo pop, hip hop, you name it. And it's really funny. I mean, it's so convincing.
Yeah.
Pick the fuck up now if you want this relationship to last. Pick up the phone, I swear to God I'm bad. If you don't pick up now, I swear to God, pick up Amber, pick the fuck up now.
These things sound like songs. It makes you think, who wrote songs that sound like this? Because they could have just used AI.
I hate to be a negative Nancy, but I do think a lot of these are fake.
Yeah, the texts themselves. Yeah.
But some of them might be real. They're not just people turning their ex's messages into these quite good AI songs, but also messages from your group chat.
Taylor, yes. You're never gonna believe this. Jake is bald. Please go look. Dude. Gross. He looks like Sid from Toy Story.
I was so drunk last night that I joined a book club. I got a group message today about what books to buy. I just ordered these three books for book club.
Like, I saw one where someone was talking about their partner complaining about things.
I wanna go there, wanna get us a kebab tonight, babe. I wanna go there, let's just get a kebab. When we ordered the kebab and it didn't taste nice, where was it from?
We wanted to turn some of our group chat messages, top comment group yeah. chat messages, into one of these songs.
But we can't, because the level of approval required at the BBC to use AI for anything is so... stringent.
Kind of understandably so. Shout out to editorial policy. You obviously have to make sure you go through all the right like processes to be able to use it. So we haven't
apparently even if your apparently, goal is to make an emo pop song with text messages from your night out. Apparently, I'm live television.
And apparently, I've never been on a roller coaster before.
Apparently, I've never been on live television before.
This is never going to get good. If you would like to send us your AI-generated songs of your text messages, though, please do. We'd love them.
Yeah.
And anything else you want us to look into that's popping up, whether you want to know if it's real or not, whatever's on your feeds, we love to get into all of it on Top Comment. You can send us a message, including those AI songs, on +44 330 123 9480, and you can email topcomment@bbc.co.uk.
And apparently, I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news because I'm a kid, and apparently every time, apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.